Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host on this weekend show. We're joined in studio by Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller Debbie Bautista and the Tuolumne County Assistant County Clerk Robbie Bergstrom. During the first segment, we talked a lot about some changes coming to the voting system in Tuolumne County. Staying on that topic and with Robbie Bergstrom, you know, what races are going to be on that 2020 ballot that people can be aware of next year?
Compared to the gubernatorial election time period, there's fewer contests on the ballot. But of course, this election gets a lot more attention, starting with, of course, the presidential primary. You can voting on through your party, you can nominate the candidate that you want to go forward for your party in the general election. And then there is the U.S. representative, and then at the state level, state assembly. And of course, at the local level, the one that gets the most attention is the county supervisor. We have three districts going to election this year, District 1, 4, and 5. And then going down the ballot, we have City Council, Sonora City Council.
And clerk.
And I know it seems like it's always a little bit of a difference between the local races as opposed to the state races for the rules. So in the primary election, say you have, you know, three or four candidates on a ballot for a board of supervisor position. How does that work? You know, the primary election and who goes, or if that race goes on to the November election?
As far as the local county election?
Yes.
So if in a supervisor race, if there are, say, for example, three candidates and nobody gets more than 50%, then the top two candidates go on to the general election. However, if one does get over 50%, it goes that person wins outright and then it doesn't remain on the ballot in the general election.
And how is that different from the federal races and the state races?
So federal, excluding president, the federal race and the state race are voter nominated. And how that works is everybody is on the ballot in the primary election, so we could have potentially 20 to 30 candidates on the same ballot. And the top two vote getters, regardless of what percentage of the votes they receive in the primary, go on to the general election.
So for at the local level, are you noticing quite a bit of early interest in the local seats?
A lot. Back in August, we had a candidate filing class where someone could come to the class and learn about the process of filing as a candidate, some things that they should be concerned about and some things that they should consider before walking into our office. And we had quite a few people there that were interested in a variety of the races, county council, as well as a supervisor were the biggest turnouts. Okay.
And remember, two of the incumbent supervisors, Carl Rutherford and John Grade, have announced that they are not going to seek election. So that gives even more interest to people because you're not going against the incumbent. So we're expecting to see a lot of individuals that want to run for those two supervisorial districts. 4 and 5, plus there's interest in District 1 where the incumbent, Sherry Brennan, has announced that she is going to seek re-election.
And Debbie, what do you notice in regards to voter turnout in Tuolumne County compared to other areas?
Tuolumne County has excellent voter turnout. We're always way above, sometimes double, what the state itself does. And what we see, which is one of the reasons why we kind of looked at the new model, is that the people who vote by mail have a larger turnout than the people who come to the polls. You know, life happens. It's Tuesday and you forgot to go to the poll because you're in San Francisco versus having to send into your ballot. So 80% right now of the Tuolumne County voters vote by mail or have chosen to vote by mail. We're hoping with this new model we will have a very large turnout. And with the different races that are on the ballot, we have more interest with people and who they want to choose as their representatives.
And I know the rule has changed in recent years regarding postmark ballots as well. So if it's election day and somebody's got a ballot, can they still put it in the mail?
If they get it postmarked on election day, they have 3 days to get it into our office or Friday, and we will still count the ballot.
I don't know if you probably don't have any statistics in front of you. We hear a lot in the state about, you know, increased number of independent voters. What have you noticed locally? Is it still pretty heavily Republican, or what are you noticing?
Well, between the two main parties, if you want to say that, between the Republicans and the Democrats. Tuolumne County, unlike the state of California, there are more Republicans than there are Democrats. But just like the state, we have a lot of new voters who choose to be no party preference, NPP. And I think that's just because they don't align with either party 100%.
You know, next thing I want to ask you about is the county budget. When the issue of the budget shortfall has come up at the Board of Supervisors meetings, you have been very vocal, you know, to the board over the past several years. You know, what are kind of the issues that have caught your attention and concerns you have about, you know, past budgets and looking forward to the future?
We all have our own, hopefully, checkbooks. And when the money coming in is always less than the money coming out, one can only survive whatever we have in our savings account. And for the last multiple years for the County of Tuolumne, and again, we're talking predominantly the general fund, our expenditures have been more than our revenue. A couple of years ago, our fund balance was close to $4.5 to $5 million. At the end of 2018, it was just barely over $2 million. We have made some choices. The Board of Supervisors have made some choices. The CAO's office has made some choices in this current budget to help change that. We have great fiscal policies about paying off debt, paying off our unfunded liabilities, never spending money, one-time money for ongoing expenses. And it appears that this year, 1920, we're going to put a lot of those policies into place. I'm really happy that we're going to pay off. The board approved in August, and they will affirm on September 17th that we had two internal loans that we had borrowing for the Law and Justice Center. Both of those are going to be paid off. Actually, I paid them off in July once the board said I could. Those are really good policies to go forward with. You don't have those reoccurring expenses, and you will now have more ongoing revenues to cover ongoing expenses because you're starting to climb out of debt. So I'm hoping that this is the turning point, but, you know, stay tuned. Let's see where we end up in June.
I've heard you talk, too, in the past about concerns about PERS and the unfunded liabilities. You know, what is kind of the issue on the horizon with that?
Well, Tuolumne County is a little the PERS unfunded liability is pretty standard for all of the counties that are in PERS or in 1937 Act County, is that we gave a lot of benefits that we really didn't think about what the cost was going to be in the future. The way that the assets were determined, 10 years ago wasn't as accurate as they should be. We've had in the state of California, we've had some recessions where PERS is set up that it should earn 7.5 was the beginning discount rate. Now it's 7.25. PERS was not getting some of the returns that they were going to. And then Tuolumne County is a little different. If you'll recall, going back to 2005, 2007, we had a hospital. We had a lot of health departments where we had a lot of employees. Those employees now are starting to, in the last couple of years, to take out their PERS and retire from PERS and starting to receive their benefits. Well, there isn't a replacement, kind of like Social Security, there isn't a replacement employee because we don't have those functions anymore. Last year, we had over 100 employees start to draw down their PERS, and we didn't increase 100 employees in the county. So you're having the system for Tuolumne County, we're having people drain or pull down for benefits, but we're not paying in because we don't have that many employees.
And in the budget process itself, what is kind of your role as the county clerk and auditor controller?
Brent Wallace, if anybody remembers Mr. Wallace from being the CAO, what he used to say to people was that he was the budget guy. If you wanted to talk about budget, come see him. If you wanted to talk about actuals and what really happened, go see the fiscal person, which was me. So I look at the actuals all the time. I look at the budget and see, in fact, I was helping them yesterday, look at the budget, see if I see anything that looks maybe incorrect or not quite logical. The CAO's office role is to put the budget together. I will review it, just like the public does, just like the board does, and make any comments if I think there's any adjustments. But my role is really to look at the actuals as we're going down the next 12 months or the next 9 months. Are they close to budget? Do we have a problem with the budget? Just like the department head is supposed to be doing that for their budgets that they're under, I just look at the whole county in total. So I'm the actual person. I look at what we're really doing.
Seems like when I've watched the supervisor meetings and you come up to speak, everybody's ears kind of perk up in the room. So it's good to have those hard numbers.
Yes.
We need to take one more break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller Debbie Bautista, as well as Robbie Bergstrom, the Assistant County Clerk. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.